We desire your prayers this morning. The scripture that says, through the foolishness of preaching, he chose that to save those that will believe. And I think about the many different kinds of messages that God uses, the different purposes, how that he will be faithful to those that are lost. He will send messages to draw them. But he's very interested in the saints of God. I know he is more than willing to save all that are lost. I know he is. He's not willing that any should perish. But I want to tell you, he's very interested in you and me keeping saved. He sends messages for different aspects of our life, spiritual growth, consecration, increase of faith, greater grace. But along the way, he sends messages that remind us, maybe messages that aren't preached very often, but it's to stir up our pure minds to remember things along the way and to be reminded. And sometimes those messages are in not only in the way of instruction, but it's in the way of correction. Because we can go along in our life and slip and not even maybe realize we have been affected. Our message last Sunday was on being affected or our reactions. And we can slip into those reactions and hardly realize what's happening to us. Partly it's due to the whole atmosphere of the world and what the world represents. It represents many things. The world, we often think of the world when it says, love not the world. We may interpret that and say, oh, that's entertainment, that's worldliness, that's this, that's, you know, we can identify it in certain ways, and it is that, and it can be that, but it can be much more than those things that we may commonly refer to as being the world. And so our thoughts this morning is going to be on another aspect of the world, but our title is going to be Conduct of Strangers and Pilgrims. How does the Lord expect you and me to conduct ourselves in this world? Are you a stranger and a pilgrim? Do you feel that you are a stranger and a pilgrim? We want to affirm to us this morning that if we are headed to heaven, we're on the highway of holiness, we're strangers and we're pilgrims. But I want to read some scripture to us just to refresh our mind that this world is not our home. The first scriptures is going to be in Hebrews 11. And I'm going to read verses 9 and 10 and 13 through 16. And as you look in your Bible there, you will see that this is called the chapter of faith. Those that were recorded who had faith down through the ages of time, it says it's the roll call of the heroes of faith. In my Bible, it says that. And it lists each one and tells how their faith affected them and caused them to be successful. But in verse 9, it begins to speak about Abraham. Verse 8 tells about Abraham. So verse 9 is referring to Abraham. It says that Abraham, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verse 13, and these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 16, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So those are some verses I wanted to read in your hearing, and also the song also came to my mind this morning of and I looked it up online. It's not in our book, of course, and it says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And the chorus of it says, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, you have to have a vision in order to have that testimony this morning. You have to know what the writers are talking about. In Philippians, the third chapter, Paul is writing this. And he said in the 20th verse, he said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. He's coming back. There is a reference on that scripture, and it says it this way, for our citizenship is in heaven. So this morning, we are in this world, and we're not of this world. And we have a vision that we're passing through this world. We're strangers and pilgrims. And we have a citizenship in another country, which is heavenly. So in 1 Peter, I trust that the Lord will help us to convey our burden this morning. Desire your prayers that he will. In the second chapter of 1 Peter, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. And these are familiar scriptures. We've heard them in many times in the past. Verse 9 refers to the people of God as being a chosen generation. It says that we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, and it says that we are a called out people. We're to be separate. It says that we are now, verse 10, we're now the people of God, and that we have obtained mercy. And verse 11 says, Paul addresses the dearly beloved, and this is what he said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. And now what he says next is to abstain from fleshly lust. And this morning we understand what that means. That is a great, powerful, wicked, evil spirit that is in the world, that has been unleashed in the world. But there's other things that affect us spiritually in our lives that we want to apply this to. We are going to have to abstain from other things, not just those things that we are fully aware of as being sensual and devilish and sinful, all that the enemy has unleashed in the world. We understand that, but we need to understand also that the devil is wanting to affect you and me. If he cannot get us in these other obvious things, he has things that don't seem quite as obvious. And he wants us to be affected. And he wants us to respond and to react in those kind of ways. And the Lord is wanting to say, I want you to examine your heart. I want you to know what's in your heart. Because the scripture says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It also says that it is through and out of the heart come the issues of life. So we need to be very sensitive to our heart and to the things that are around about us that could affect us and could cause us to react in a way that the Lord would not be pleased. So we're strangers and pilgrims. First Peter also, in the 4th chapter and verse 4, and I'm going to start out with it saying like this: the world will, the actual reading of it is speaking of the verse above it, which is speaking of wicked men, and then it says they think this. But I'm going to say it this way so we can grasp hold of something about the world. The world will think this, okay? So the world is going to think that you and I are strange because we do not run with them and we do not go to the same excess of riot. And it says they will speak evil of us because we do not join them. I added that part. We don't take part. Now, as I read that scripture, I have to consider all that has happened in the last few years, and specifically in the last year. It is not news. We all know it. We know that our country has been in trouble. We know that there have been riots, devastating riots in certain cities of great destruction. It has affected our whole country. And there wasn't a big push to stop those kind of things. And those kind of things began to affect people. And people began looking on at some in excusing it. And some people looked on it in absolute horror and thought it was the worst thing that could happen to our nation to be allowed to happen. So in our society today, in the very atmosphere of our society, there's generally a dividing line. And let me insert here, I am not preaching a political message. I do not believe God wants, nor does he bless, the political agenda to be sent out from his pulpit. We do not promote the political agendas. But the political agendas are affecting us and can affect us and can disturb us and can affect our peace. And I believe the Lord wants us to understand this. He wants us to understand we are pilgrims and strangers, but he also wants us to understand we are in this world. We cannot escape this world. We're going to experience what's happening in this world. But he wants us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So this scripture simply awakens our thoughts to what the world is right now. The world is in a place of violence, uncertainty, unrest. That's what we're facing. That's what we are in. Not just facing in the future, we're in it. But he has something for us. He wants us to understand how we are to conduct ourselves in this world as strangers and pilgrims. So that's our burden this morning. So I've been looking at different scriptures concerning the conduct of strangers and pilgrims. It won't say it exactly like that, but it will mean that. But there's subtitles. If you have a Chain Thompson Bible, you'll see that in the columns to the side of the reading, you'll find subtitles that indicate what's in that chapter. And I found titles like this: The Times Demand Sober Living. If ever there's a time that you and I need to be serious, it's now. If ever there was a time that the people of God needed to be praying, it is now. If ever there was a time that the people of God needed to be crying out to God to deliver them from the spirit of fear and imagination, it is now. That's going to affect us. Other subtitles will say things like this: citizens' duties. Do you believe the word of the Lord tells us how to behave ourselves in this world as a citizen of this world? Because we're still a citizen of this world. Whatever country that a person lives, they are a citizen of that country. So you and I are citizens of the United States, and we should count that a great blessing. We have had a wonderful life. We've really not known anything else but peace most of the time. We've had prosperity, and so we have much to thank the Lord for and to appreciate. And so another subtitle has been duties to the state. You know, the Lord is interested in how we conduct ourselves as citizens of the United States. This is still not political. This is instructions this morning that is in the Word of God. And we need to be reminded of it. Jesus said, he actually said it to his disciples, and I've already quoted it two or three times. I'm going to quote it again. He said to his disciples, "You are not of this world. You are in this world, but you are not of this world." He's saying it to us today. Get it in your heart and mind. This world is not going to last forever. You're not going to live forever, but you're passing through this world. God has allowed you to live in this place, this country. You're going to live here until you die or until Jesus comes. Jesus also said, very plainly, "My kingdom is not of this world." We're not going to look for a kingdom of God to be set up in this world. There are people today that are they're misunderstanding what the word of the Lord says. They believe that he's going to come back and set up his kingdom, and this earth is going to be burned over, and they have all kinds of theories about this. But when Jesus appears in the eastern sky, and that's what the word says, with his witnesses, when the trump of God sounds, that is the end of time. There is an angel right now, speaking in Revelations, has one foot on the land and one on the sea. And that angel is waiting to hear the command for him to announce time will be no more. So in what we are facing, we are still facing the possible coming of the Lord. And I want us to keep that in our mind. His kingdom is not of this world. You and I are instructed in many instructions that we could apply this morning, but he says in his word, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So I'm going to insert this. We cannot be partakers of the spirit that is in the world that we witness and hear in the political realm. This is still not a political message. But you and I are not ignorant, we're not blind, we're not deaf. Amen. We have heard these horrible things, we've seen it, we've read about it. It's a spirit that has been unleashed. Amen. In our whole society, and the very foundation of it is hatred and malice, and you can put any adjective there of sinful, mean wickedness is there. And our spirits can be stirred up. We can begin to take one side or another. And let me tell you, the whole world is divided. And one side feels that the other side is just as wrong as they are, or whatever. Or they think they're right and this one's wrong. It's just something that can affect you and me. And we must not allow these things to get into our heart. You must guard your heart. You must guard your thoughts. You must guard your emotions. You can become emotionally affected by what you hear and see and read. We are instructed to set our minds on things above. You're going to have to be able to discipline yourself and draw your mind in. Because I'm telling you, you can get affected in a moment. I had an experience this last week that made me to know the great danger of this. I have hardly listened to the radio or news or anything since Lorne died. Very, very little. And a conversation started with somebody else. And I quickly felt the emotion of it in my heart. And I got home. Cheryl was with me. I felt bad. I felt like that I had somehow just slipped. Because I've tried to guard myself so carefully in those kind of things. I called Cheryl. I said, Cheryl, I've got to confess it. I had a stirring in my spirit that I did not like. Keep these things out in the open. Don't cover them up and pretend they're not there. You keep on top of your passions and your feelings. When you hear a news item or when you know how somebody else feels, don't let it stay in your heart. keep your eyes on the Lord above and on the things above and not on the things of this earth. This is earthly things I'm talking about today. Don't let the earthly things trip you up. Again, the reality is that you and I are still in this world. In Revelations, there is a scripture that I want to just bring. I don't have it written down, but you'll understand. It's in the latter part of Revelations, and it's speaking about the Lord's coming. And before the Lord comes, what's going to happen? And it says that the saints will be compassed about, will be surrounded. Do you feel surrounded? If you're striving to keep your heart and your mind pure and having pure righteous thoughts and righteous feelings in your heart and not any bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness and accusations, and that's what's happening. Don't let it come into your heart. The Lord is coming back, and we can be compassed about with all of these things. The scripture there says that when that happens, when it comes to the fullness of time, that fire came down out of heaven and consumed the wicked. We will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. But until then, we're still in this world. We're not of this world, but we're still in it. In the thought that I had last Sunday concerning our reactions, I used a term of there are outside forces that can affect us. Even events in everyday life. You see, the enemy now, the scripture, I didn't get this scripture, but it says that Satan has been loosed for a season. This is one of those seasons. It's the end time. And he's doing all that he can to affect you and me, whether it's in our personal life, whether you name it. But let us not be involved in the political scene. Let us keep our heart pure from that. There are outside forces that are working right now, even as you sit here, to affect you, to affect me. I wrote down a statement, and I want to read it as I felt like the Lord wanted me to read it. It said, we must know, believe, and conduct ourselves only to please God. We must know how to please God. We must believe that in doing so, He's pleased. And our conduct, we must be careful to be conducting ourselves as His people, as lights in this world, as examples of holiness. We cannot conduct ourselves any other way and please God. So we must know and believe that the governments of this world are controlled by God. Is that my thought? We must know and believe that God sets up kings and He takes down kings. And He does it according to His purpose and His will. And that's scripture. So I'm going to give you a scripture now. This scripture is in Daniel, the 4th chapter, and verse 17. And this verse establishes this truth. We may have it in our minds that every government of the world is just their government. Their people set them up. The kings rule. We may lose vision that God is the one that's in control. But listen to this scripture now. Just a minute, I gotta turn over there. Daniel, 4th chapter, verse 17. Now this happens to be in the chapter about Nebuchadnezzar. Now if you want to study about Nebuchadnezzar, he was a ruler. God was in control of him. He set him up and he took him down. But listen to this verse. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know, that's you and me, the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giving it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Did you read it? Read it for yourself. I want to tell you that God sets them up and he takes them down, and they aren't always the best. Some of them are the basest of men. And he allows it. He has a purpose in it. And we trust him. We believe in him that he is in control. He's in more control than you and I really know. So as citizens of this time world, we can be affected by these outside forces, I said. Let's turn to Romans, the 13th chapter. Now we're going to see how the Lord wants us to conduct ourselves as citizens of this country. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. I'm sorry. I was in Hebrews. Okay. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. And whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's a really serious verse. Because you and I can witness people that have resisted the powers that be. Let it not be you or me. If God has set up the kingdoms of men, if God sets up kings and takes down kings, it tells me that I should honor the office. If I cannot respect the person, I still honor God because he's the one, the power that be, the power that is. He ordained it to be so. Skipping on down now to verse 4. It says that he is a minister of God. Now this goes farther than political. The servants are civil servants. God is in control of that too. I found scriptures. It says for us to obey magistrates. Those that are in authority in our civil government. We are in a time that I actually have pity for our police officers. That's not to say every one of them is the best one on the lot. But God has them there for a reason. And you and I should obey or be subject to those in civil authority. We should not put them down because God has them there. Now look at verse 4. Oh, I read, that's all I'm going to get out of that one. It's the minister, he's a minister of God. And then in verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject. We need to be subject, show respect. Because it's God who has allowed them to be there. There have been people that have gotten in trouble when they would resist the authorities that have been placed over them. Maybe there have been people that have been stopped for a traffic violation. And they didn't handle it wisely at all. Got them in trouble. I remember one time many years ago, I was driving fast. I had forgot something at home. And I was in a hurry, and I came to a stop sign, and I looked everywhere. I did not see one other car, and I ran the stop sign. After I ran the stop sign, I looked in my rearview mirror, and there's a policeman coming. Okay, I'm still in a hurry. I pull over. I get my license out. I'm waiting for him. He comes up to the car, and I just stuck it out there, and I said, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. Well, it shocked him. But you know, how we respond to those in authority, it'll be a kind reaction. The man said, well, lady, do you know everything you did wrong? I know everything I did wrong, and I'm still in a hurry. I just wanted him to give me the ticket, and I wanted to go on. He says, well, lady, if you know everything you did wrong, I'll only give you a warning. Well, I didn't expect that. There is a way for us to show respect to those that are in authority, and God blesses it. I know I was doing wrong, but I was willing to pay the fine. See? Don't try to get out of it if you're guilty. Allow these kind of people their place of authority. God's placed them there. So let's go to another scripture. I'm telling you, this is going to get close. Let's go to Titus now, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2. Speak thou. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Sorry. 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities. What is that saying? It's what we're doing this morning. We're reminding you. We're putting it in your mind. You need to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey the magistrates, the civil governments of our communities. And to be ready for every good work. And look at verse 2. To speak evil of no man. Has anybody heard anybody speak evil of those in authority?
Amen.
They have. We've heard it. And are we tempted to join in?
Yes.
We've got to watch it. Not every talk show host, I haven't heard them speak evil, but there have been some out there that uses some very vile and very disrespectful terms, calling this one and that. I'm not even going to repeat them. Could the enemy make us think we're justified because they're wicked and they deserve to be called? No. We're strangers and pilgrims. We have a citizenship in another country, and we're living to please Him. And we're wanting to conduct ourselves as strangers and pilgrims. And He says, don't speak evil of no man, but gentle, shewing all meekness unto all men. That's what's pleasing unto the Lord. Be gentle. Show meekness. He has the grace for you and me to do this. This isn't something that you're going to say, oh, I'm just going to grit my teeth and take it. You turn to God and He'll give you the grace to do it. Thank the Lord. I'm going to go to 2 Peter now, the second chapter, and starting at verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Do you need to hear that this morning? When you're tempted to join in with the spirit of the world and the hatefulness of the world, and you're getting stirred up in your spirit, God knows how to deliver you. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I want to tell you, people are going to get their due reward. Let us get our due reward also. Let the scripture plainly says what the reward of the righteous is. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. People that despise government are demonstrating all the time, aren't they? And it turns violent. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They don't have the fear of God. They don't recognize that God is really in control. God is the one that set this one up. God is the one that takes that one down. God is the one that set up all of the governments of the world, good and bad. And they're not afraid to speak evil of the dignities. Whereas angels, listen to this verse, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. The angels of heaven don't bring railing accusations before God against the wicked. Should we? Let us keep ourselves unspotted from the world. But these are as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of the unrighteous. We should not be hoping for their reward of unrighteousness, but we should keep it in our mind. We should keep it in our mind that God knows it all. He's going to judge it all. He's going to judge the thoughts of a man's heart. He knows their thoughts afar off. He knows their intentions. Let us have pure thoughts. There's another scripture in Exodus 22 and 28. I'm just going to read part of that. Thou shalt not revile or curse the ruler of the people. Ecclesiastes 10 and 20. Curse not the king. No, not in thy thought. Acts 35 and 5. It is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Do you see how the Lord is looking at this? Evil men are not afraid to speak evil of others. 1 Timothy now, final scripture. This is what we're told to do now. 1 Timothy 2 and 1 and 2. Now the Spirit, I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for who? All men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Have you all heard that in this congregation more than once? Don't we say it in our prayers? Yes. Have mercy upon us that we may be able to live a quiet and a peaceful life. God put this in here. So if we follow what He is telling us to do, He will want to give it to us. I don't know the future. I'm not here to predict what it will be or not be. But this is what the Word says. So we are to live a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honor. That's pleasing unto the Lord. So that's our little thought this morning. Guard your hearts, your passions. Don't allow the spirit of the world to affect you, cause you to react. There's one more scripture that says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Pray for me.